I was able to escape the demonic grip, the satanic stronghold, the big black cloud that looms over the city of criminal corruption, filth, crime, and communism. Fresh back from D.C., live from Minneapolis, June 9th, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. It's been almost a year and a half since the January 6th incident. Oh, and we know a few things about it. First, we know that there were dozens of FBI agents and informants of all stripes sprinkled into the crowd that day. We know that people who remain unindicted were going around telling people to break into the Capitol the day before. And we know the truth about the January 6th committee. It's a witch hunt designed by Democrats to put their political enemies in prison. The attack on democracy wasn't January 6th. There was no insurrection on that day. The real insurrection, the real attack on democracy came with the rigged and stolen election before it and the witch hunt after it. Peter Navarro was recently arrested. His crime? He told the Trump White House how to challenge the election results. Then he refused to take part in the sham of a hearing intended only for political theater, so he told the January 6th committee to go shove it. So now they've arrested him and are looking to send him to prison. Just to put things into perspective, 6 years ago, the head of the FBI himself, James Comey, came right out and said that Hillary Clinton ran a secret email server, that she blatantly ignored laws about handling government emails and left the whole thing exposed to being hijacked by a foreign power. It was 100% categorically criminal behavior. But thanks to James Comey, she was never charged. We know with 100% certainty that her campaign invented the Russia hoax and promoted it to the press and the FBI. We know that lawyer Michael Sussman told lies on Hillary's behalf. But of course, he got acquitted last week because the trial was a sham held in D.C. with a completely politically compromised jury. We know with absolute certainty that Hunter Biden took payoffs from a Ukrainian energy company for a job that he wasn't remotely qualified for. We know that these payments amounted to potentially millions of dollars. Money that we know he loved to illegally splurge on drugs and hookers. And we know that when he wasn't getting corrupt payoffs from Ukraine, he was getting special treatment from China, too. If you want to root out actual corruption and fraud and lies, there are dozens of worthy and flagrant examples in D.C. right now. If you wanted to crush corruption in our capital, the fix is easy. Send a message by arresting Hunter Biden. We know he's corrupt. We know that he's a proud and flagrant criminal. And if he got shipped off to prison, it would work wonders for showing that nobody is above the law. People might actually begin to believe in this country again. But they're not charging Hunter Biden, and they never will, because this is not a serious country. Every new bit of corruption is just being relentlessly rubbed in our face. Meanwhile, the deep state's other way of showing off its power is this fake investigation. Let's be honest, they don't even really care about Peter Navarro. What they really care about is you. They want to terrify and intimidate you and make you too scared to stand up and resist at all. How did we get here? Peter Navarro hasn't been shy about how. It's not just Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. They're Democrats. Of course they're going to be demonic. But another one of the offenders is House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. According to Navarro, quote, he knew right at the outset that they were breaking the rules and he didn't stand up right then, unquote. Well, that's a given. When has Kevin McCarthy ever stood up for anyone except himself? Peter Navarro has a lot of things to say about this sham prosecution, and he joins us now. Mr. Navarro, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Stu, my brother, always good to be with you.
So the elephant in the room, these arrests are getting closer to Trump. What's the final goal here? Are they going to take this guy? Are they going to arrest this guy and cart him off to prison?
The final goal, Stu, is for this kangaroo committee to, in prime time, craft another hoax. We've had the Russia hoax fully discredited. What they're going to do is try to craft a hoax that somehow Trump was responsible for the violence on Capitol Hill on January 6th, and somehow he's an insurrectionist. That's their mission, okay? And whether they get him arrested and put in leg irons like I was, or simply enshroud him with as they've done for 5 years now, with allegations and to try to diminish his political capital, what they're desperately trying to do, Stu, is keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office come January of 2025. That's what this is all about. It's not about getting to the bottom of what happened on January 6th with respect, for example, why Nancy Pelosi left the perimeter only lightly guarded, why Secretary of Defense Mark Esper had the National Guard too far away for immediate response, why and who the FBI had to possibly instigate this violence. And there's certainly plenty of evidence that may have been done. And there's pattern there, because we know in the Whitmer case in Michigan, it was like half of the people involved in that were FBI informants. So that's it. And I guess I'm collateral damage in all of what now is a kind of a Shakespearean tragedy and comedy about what our Constitution says and does. Now, what I have done from the outset with this committee, when they commanded me by subpoena to appear, Stu, I've been consistent about two things. One, that the committee itself is not duly authorized or properly constituted, and therefore it's, as they say in the law, ultra vires, illegal, and unenforceable when they issue subpoenas. So right off the bat, those subpoenas are invalid, and it follows that the Justice Department itself is, if it tries to enforce any of that down the road, it's really fruit of the poisonous illegal subpoenas. But equally, and perhaps more important, I've also been insistent that executive privilege applies here. And everybody agrees on this point, including the committee. It's not my privilege to waive. I don't have the right to waive Donald Trump's executive privilege. So it's my duty to the commander-in-chief in the country to not comply with the committee's subpoena. And that's what I've done. And importantly, to that point, Stu, I've made it repeatedly clear, and this, the case law on this is that what the committee and the Justice Department are supposed to do to get the information they want from me is to pursue what's called the least burdensome alternative. That's a doctrine that goes back to the Watergate days when case law was formed on this. And so the least burdensome alternative, Stu, for that committee and now the Department of Justice would be to go directly, as I've requested repeatedly, to Trump and his attorneys and negotiate any waiver of the privilege. And I've said many times that if that privilege is waived, I'll do what the boss tells me to do, because I that's who I am. They didn't do that. The committee didn't do that. The DOJ didn't do that. But there's a second least burdensome alternative short of a criminal prosecution, and that's simply a civil suit. And that was done, for example, in the Myers case in the George W. Bush administration, when a Republican administration had a similar conflict with a Democrat Congress, but the Democrats didn't control the Department of Justice like they do in this case. Now, I filed a civil suit in this matter. I filed it on Tuesday. And not coincidentally, I wound up in leg irons, literally, on Friday in an assault at the airport involving five FBI agents. And the irony here and the comedy of this Shakespearean tragedy is that I literally live 50 yards away from the FBI. And on Wednesday, the day after I filed my civil suit, I did two things, too. I wrote a letter to Deputy Attorney Patricia Alloy at the Justice Department explaining my constitutional dilemma and indicated I sought some kind of modus vivendi, kind of a way that we could work on this to a satisfactory conclusion whereby I could maintain my duty to the Constitution. And I gave them an attorney's number to call. At the same time, that very same day, I called Walter Giordano, an FBI agent who had basically banged on my door the week before and got me out of bed to give me a subpoena, and said, "Hey, Walter, it's like, if you need anything, you want another subpoena, whatever you need, just give me a call. I'll do it." So on Wednesday, the stage was set for a peaceful and civilized resolution of this matter, where Patricia Alloy could have went to the Trump folks to seek a waiver of the privilege, and Walter Giordano could have simply called me and asked me to voluntarily surrender to the court, both of which I would have done. But instead, at that fork in the road, this is where the two-tier system of justice comes up. You know, one for Antifa and BLM and the clowns behind the Russia hoax, one for Trump administration officials. Instead of that, they let me get up in the morning, have some breakfast, walk out my door, surveilling me all the way, get all the way to the airport in a public place and take me. And the worst part of the taking, Stu, besides the indignity of handcuffs and leg irons and all of that, was that at the time of the arrest, I asked Giordano to have a phone call to get legal advice on this right then, right? They're reading me my Miranda rights. You have a right to attorney. I say, well, I want to call my attorney. They wouldn't let me do that. And they locked me up in John Hinckley's cell. Apparently, that's what they told me. And I sat there waiting for the magistrate without legal representation. And look, you said it right. I mean, if they can come for me, they come for you, and they're coming for you, by the way. And so what I've been doing, besides trying to get this message out, you know, I've got this book, Taking Back Trump's America. It's on Amazon, Taking Back Trump's America. It's a twofer. I'm asking people to go order it. Okay. It's good value for the money because it's a blueprint and battle cry for taking back both the Trump White House in 2024 and the Pelosi Congress in 2022. But it also will help fund my legal defense. And yeah, I've been representing myself to pro se in the civil case, which is fine. But when they escalate so dramatically to a criminal case, I'm talking to folks and they're telling me this is like $500,000 or more to represent. And yeah, that's a lot of money. So folks, you know, Taking Back Trump's America on Amazon, if you can help me out there in Stu Peters land, strike a blow for freedom here, because this isn't right. You yeah. don't put people like, look, Stu, when I was in the administration, I served for 4 years, the whole time. They created hundreds of thousands of jobs on behalf of the boss in manufacturing. And during the pandemic, when I was the Defense Production Act policy coordinator, I literally was responsible for helping the boss save millions of lives by getting out the PPE and stuff like that. It's the kind of thing like if I were in charge today, there wouldn't be a baby formula shortage. You know, we did things quickly back then. So, This is how they're treating a public servant because I had the temerity to serve in the Trump administration. This is the ultimate cancel culture. I mean, I can handle like the New York Times and the Washington Post and the media and all of that is like, cancel us, right? Or Twitter or whatever. But when they put you in leg irons to make a point to the general public, when a phone call would have been enough, people in America need to get, need to understand what happened. And I hope they will get as righteously indignant about this as I think they should.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, Taking Back Trump's America, I'm looking right now, is in the top 10 on Amazon and in the top 3 for nonfiction. There's a reason for that. Go get the book, pre-order it right now, Taking Back Trump's America on Amazon. This is a dual thing. You're going to get a whole lot of value and help. Peter Navarro here. This picture is so big and growing larger. There's a thousand different ways that I could talk about this. And it's so complex, but really, here's the simplicity of it is this. You've got Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff involved. Kevin McCarthy didn't stand up when he should have. The FBI is completely corrupt. And by the way, they don't even have a charter. They don't have a charter. They're just walking around without the authority, just some appointed, here we are, and we're going to go make up fake charges and arrest people and put them in prison. They don't have a charter to do that. A lot of people aren't aware of that. So many different people are involved at the highest levels. Who's behind it? Who's putting all of them up to this? Who's giving them the authority and the power to carry this out? This is a coup.
Yeah. So the lawsuit I filed, the civil suit, is at peternavarro.com. Download it, read it. One of the most interesting portions of the lawsuit is when I discuss what in the law they call the legislative history that points to the real motives behind what Congress is doing. Stu, please understand, Congress has the power to investigate, but only for legislative purposes. They can't hide behind the legislative function and pursue the judicial function as judge, jury, and executioner like this committee is doing. Now, in the lawsuit, I go over the history, the legislative history of the seven Democrats on that committee. It's Thompson, it's Raskin, it's Schiff, it's Luria, it's Aguilar, it's Stephanie Murphy. Every single one of these people, Stu, every single one has been engaged over a five-year period in all manner of weaponization of Congress's investigatory powers to topple the government of Donald Trump. Okay? Think about that. Five-year history. It started with the now discredited Russia hoax. Raskin and Schiff played key roles there. It went through two discredited impeachment trials. And I don't know if you know this, Stu, but there's like three resolutions at least that Raskin and others on that committee sponsored or co-sponsored to remove Trump from office for a wide variety of again, bogus reasons. Now that in and of itself, when you ask me who's behind it, they're behind it. It's these kangaroo Democrats who essentially are engaged in what's called lawfare. That's the illicit use of the legal system, in this case, the legislative function, to promote illicit goals. I mean, you can't be a congressman in this country and plot and scheme to overthrow the president using the legislative function in a judicial fashion. That's what they're doing. So there's big, big constitutional issues here. The other one's the executive privilege, but on that point, who's behind it is them. And then it's like Biden either explicitly or tacitly colluded with the committee, because I'm covered by executive privilege. From the outset, I made that point to the committee. And instead of going to Donald Trump and negotiating a waiver of the privilege, they went to Biden and got him to waive my privilege. You can't do that. There's no law for that.
There's a lot of things that you can't do that they're doing right now. So what's the fix?
It's legal madness. And my mission is to get this to the Supreme Court. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for the fact that they probably did on Friday what they did because of what I did on Tuesday, which was to file a civil suit and challenge them on 4 points of the law, which I know I will win on every single point. I mean, that committee does not have the power to issue subpoenas. It simply does not. Therefore, anything they do after that is unenforceable.
So I know that we have limited time here, but I got to, let's get down to brass tacks. So you said that they're coming for us. That's the people. This is the people's bullhorn. I care about these people that watch the show. I know that you care about the people of the country, too. They're watching their kids get groomed and raped and trafficked. They're watching these transgender things get pushed on them in school. Critical race theory. You know the gamut. All of our individual liberties, all of our rights are under assault. You can't go to work. You can't fly. You can't do anything unless you do what the government tells you to do. Yep. They're taking our money. They're sending it to Ukraine. No questions asked. $40 billion. I mean, all of it. It's all criminal. The stolen election. Yeah. The insurrection was a setup. The real insurrection, as we know, occurred on November 3rd. This is a FBI setup, and among other people. This is a communist takeover via Marxist coup. They ousted a president. They disenfranchised the vote. I mean, all of this is happening right in front of us. The cover-ups and the criminal corruption is happening right in front of us. It's happening right in front of the Supreme Court. It's happening right in front of district attorneys that see this happening, right in front of law enforcement, so-called constitutional sheriffs. Nobody is standing up. Everybody is paralyzed. They're coming for our guns now, what they're going to do on 2A. They want to disarm this country. It's coming to the doorsteps of middle-class Christian America. The bedrock of our country is where it's coming. It's coming there fast. Yeah. What is the fix? How do we stop this train?
Well, look, I saw this coming from the day that Biden stole the election. And the reason why I wrote the book Taking Back Trump's America, because in my judgment, the only fix is taking back the House from the Democrats so it won't be weaponized for partisan purposes, and taking back the White House under the banner of Trumpism so we have an intelligent, vibrant president who knows how to create prosperity and security in America. That's the fix.
They're going to cheat again, though. So if they stole the election then, they're going to steal it now. We're seeing it still happening. They're still using internet-connected machines. They still have mail-in ballots. They still have drop boxes.
Stu, this is why it's so important in real time, and I'm sure your show is covering this, to get involved in the primary races. There's a whole chapter in the book, Taking Back Trump's America, about how it's not just taking back the Congress for Republicans. It's got to be Trump Republicans. It can't be McCarthy, McConnell, Rhino, Cheney Republicans, because those folks, they're the ones who want to offshore our jobs and open our borders. It's got to be Trump Republicans. And so, Stu, the point here is that there's a lot of races out there in Congress, but equally important, Secretary of State. Stu, getting people with honor and integrity in as Secretaries of State, a guy like Mark Finchem in Arizona, the woman running in Michigan, her name is Kerala, I think. Just that's going to be the mission. And then there's a race in South Carolina, for example, Katie Arrington, the Trump endorsed candidate, Katie Arrington, running against Nancy Mace, who basically voted to impeach Trump. You know, Mace has to get the hell out of there. She's backed by McCarthy. Katie Arrington needs to be the person representing District 1 in South Carolina. All politics, Sue, is local. And so if anything people should take away from my leg irons, is that they have to get involved, and they have, they're coming for mothers at school board meetings. They'll do that. They're coming for truck drivers who don't want to get vaxxed. They're coming for anybody who doesn't want to abide by the authoritarian nanny state that the AOCs of this world are trying to shove down our throats. And it disgusts me every time I hear these people talk, because this is not Trump's America. This is not the America that most of us, a strong majority of us who voted for Trump, want. We're stuck with this illegitimate Biden regime and a kangaroo Congress that runs show trials for political purposes. I mean, think about this, Sue. They're holding hearings tonight. How about hearings tonight in prime time on the baby formula shortage, or hearings on rising gas prices, or hearings on the invasion at the southern border, whereby we got 2 million or more people coming over in a given year, And the Biden administration is actively exporting those people into the inner parts of the red portions of this country to try to weaken the communities there. I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up, but that's what's going on here. And it's fact. It's just fact. It's just, all you have to do is open your eyes and look at my leg irons. They're coming for you.
Peter Navarro, Taking Back Trump's America, pre-order that book on Amazon right now. He's going to need about $500,000 to defend himself against this sham, fake authoritarian arrest. It's a disgrace, a total disgrace. And I agree with you. Mike Lindell is challenging county commissioners, getting them to remove these machines. Get behind those efforts. Local county commissioners, these people are the ones that control the way the votes are counted. Secretaries of State, Mark Fincham is a great example. We're going to get him on this program. Let's get Mark Fincham booked on this show right away. Peter Navarro, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We're going to be praying for you. God bless you. I can't wait to get the book myself.
Through my brother, always good to see you, man. Love your tie today, too.
Thank you.
You got to get me one like that to go with my black shirt.
You got to get me one of the jackets that I told you. I don't know whose ass I got to kiss to get one of the jackets. I watched you on TV every day for 4 years. I got to have that jacket. I'll give you my address. No more excuses. Peter Navarro, God bless you. Got to get one of those jackets. You're dang right they're coming for you. They're coming for your kids. They're going to inject your kids. They're going to indoctrinate your kids. They're going to groom them and steal them and traffic them and rape them. They're coming for your individual liberties. They're coming for your rights. They're coming for the Constitution. They're coming to lock you down. They're coming for your money. And if it's not tax hikes and hyperinflation that'll get you, it's government theft. They're already doing it. They are stealing your money. You didn't have a vote in the $40 billion that just went to the corrupt honeypot over in Ukraine as hush money, as bribe money. You had no say. Where's $40 billion coming from? It's coming from you. And they're going to dip right into your retirement savings that you've worked hard to earn and even harder to save. Call my good friends over at Gold Co. Call this number, 855-706-GOLD. Gold Co. is going to teach you how to protect your retirement savings, your IRAs, your 401ks, and your savings account from this government theft. Protect your retirement savings with physical gold and silver and get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account when you call my good friends at Gold Co. Call this number, 855-706-GOLD. One more time, 855-706-GOLD. Welcome back. Doctors around the world are now suddenly warning the public about a strange and mysterious rise in something called sudden adult death syndrome, a condition where apparently young and previously healthy adults can suddenly, out of nowhere, unexplainably just drop dead of heart failure. The government is issuing warnings about this in the UK and in Canada, and now here in the United States as well. We thought that was really concerning, so we looked into it, and here's what we found. Before 2020, there were never more than 10 and typically fewer than 5 sudden on-the-field deaths among high-level athletes. I'm going to say that again. Never more than 10 and typically fewer than 5. Suddenly, in 2021, there were more than 300 such cases. And more are pouring in this year. Take a look around this country and pay attention, and it's clear. People are dropping dead a lot more than they used to. According to the CDC's data, all-cause mortality in the United States in the first 3 months of this year was up 21% over the rate from 2015 through 2020. In fact, mortality this spring is higher than mortality from the first quarter of last year. That's despite a whole year of rolling out and pushing these vaccines that were supposedly going to save all of our lives. The shots didn't make a difference at all. As a matter of fact, if anything, they're making things worse. And speaking of worse, the rise in total mortality might be up a lot more than just 20%. Remember, last January, one insurance company looked at its own numbers and said death rates are up 40%. Steve Kirsch is a tech entrepreneur who's closely watched the mortality information stemming from these vaccines, and he joins us now. Steve, thank you so much for coming.
Good to be here, Stu.
So sudden adult death syndrome, something that I've never heard of, sounds really concerning.
Oh, well, you know, it is. We've never seen that before. And, you know, I look at that and it's very obvious what it is.
So what do the numbers say? I mean, this is a eye-popping increase.
Yeah, you know, it's at least a 20% increase in all-cause mortality. And when we look at the Medicare numbers, which the CDC, for some reason, just doesn't want to show the public, You know, the all-cause mortality data from Medicare shows that the all-cause mortality is an all-time high. Now, how can that be that all-cause mortality in Medicare is at an all-time high, Stu? Because everyone in Medicare has been vaccinated and they've gone through all these COVID, you know, diseases and so forth. And the ones who are weak and frail, they've all been decimated or died from COVID already. I mean, it's had its toll. But now, you know, when you look at the number of weekly deaths, it's at an all-time high. Now, how can that be? The only way that can be is if the vaccines has injured your immune system. And so people are dying at a higher rate, or they're dying from this sudden adult death syndrome, which is what they're calling it, which is essentially you died because you got the vaccine. And we can't call it vaccine sudden death syndrome, because then that would create vaccine hesitancy, which is against the narrative. And so we'll call it sudden adult death syndrome, because we need a term for it, because we need to ascribe it to something. But it's basically, it's the code word for this is a vaccine death.
Yeah. I mean, and if you look around in your own personal life, you've seen it, right? I mean, you've seen friends of yours who have had at least one injection, possibly two, and maybe they're boosted. We see these people getting sick. I mean, it's affecting us in our own personal lives. I've talked to everybody that I know. More and more people are sick. There's this cognitive disconnect, obviously, where a lot of people are going, I just really don't know why all these people are sick. And well, it's just sudden adult death syndrome, of course.
Yes. It's not just for adults. See, that's the thing. It's for kids too. And I recently did a survey on Gab where they don't censor you. And what I found is when I asked about 5 to 11 year olds, you know, anyone 5 to 11 year olds who have died, and if they died, what's the cause? You'll never guess what the number one cause of death of 5 to 11 year olds is.
What is it?
It's the COVID-19 vaccine. Now the second most often cause of death. So that was the 35% of the people chose COVID-19 vaccine. The second most popular cause of death was, the cause of death was never determined. The kid died unexpectedly, and that's 23%.
Where are we as a country when we're just saying it's unexplainable how these kids are dying? I mean, if kids were dying in large numbers like this at any time in our history, this would cause major concern and warrant a serious investigation.
Yes, but you see, the CDC is not exposing that data to the public. They're not exposing the cause of death data for kids that have recently died. They're not showing the public what that is, because that would create vaccine hesitancy and it would be seized upon by us misinformation spreaders as evidence that, yes, we were right. And so the CDC, and they've told the New York Times this, they don't release any information that could be used by misinformation spreaders to create vaccine hesitancy. So this data doesn't come out. So the only way you can get it, you can't get it in the official CDC data, because they don't publish anything past 2021, January 2021. They say it's incomplete and they don't break it down. They just say age under 25. So it's not easy to get that data. So you have to get it through surveys. So I survey people, and people are welcome to do their own surveys about causes of death of 5 to 11 year olds. And they'll see the same thing. They'll see this. It's not just sudden adult death syndrome, but it's sudden kid death syndrome as well. And the thing is, Stu, it only happens to people who are vaccinated. And it only started happening after the vaccines rolled out for that age group. Now, that's an interesting coincidence. Now, people like me, we call that causality.
Yeah.
But of course, the scientists would say, well, correlation isn't necessarily causality.
Yeah, it's not really a scientific survey when you're doing it on Gab. Come on. I mean, but no major outlet, no big platform. I mean, with the exception of this one, there's nobody at Fox News Channel. There's nobody at Newsmax, nobody at OAN, CNN, of course not, the New York Times, the Post, everywhere. There is not a major outlet that is willing to broadcast this information, which basically is the definition of complicity. These people are complicit in killing kids because they know they've been presented with this information and they're refusing to submit it. Shouldn't that be criminal?
Well,
no, seriously, I'd say it's a violation. Why wouldn't it be criminal?
I'm not going to go to criminal, right? Because you have to have criminal intent and mens rea and all this stuff. But I will say that the press is supposed to look into this with an objective point of view and not make a conclusion as to whether the vaccines are safe or not.
Professionally, they have a professional point of view that they have to look at things from. But personally, there are still real people behind looking at and disseminating this information. You agree with that? There are real people, people with convictions. They see that kids are dying at alarming rates, and they themselves, not some AI program, people, persons with hearts and minds and souls, or maybe they're soulless, I don't know. They're making the cognitive, intentional decision to withhold the information about dying kids from the public. Then also, they know the cause of the death to be these bioweapon injections, not vaccines, that are killing them, and they're protecting that because of money and payoffs and bribes and the enrichment and the power and the control that they get from it. So it is criminal because they know what the cause is, they know what the effect is, and they are participating in the effect from the cause. If I push you out in front of a bus, I'm going to get criminally charged. If it's caught on tape, I'm going to get charged.
Yes, but
they're
pushing kids out in front of the bus. But withholding information isn't a crime. And it's not clear that these people actually know that information about what the causes of death of the 5 to 11-year-olds are, because the CDC knows that information, but the CDC is not broadcasting that information to anyone. So if you're the typical blue pill reporter, you're not going to look into this. You're going to assume everything is fine, and you're not going to ask any questions. You're going to trust whatever the CDC says, and you're going to trust that if something were amiss, the CDC would tell you. And so that's the way the press operates, and that's the way sort of most people in America operate, is to just assume that, well, if it was really a problem, the CDC would let us know. And of course, that is the big mistake.
Well, now, if you ask Peter Navarro, withholding information is a criminal offense. If you ask a lot of people on the right, if they withhold information or lie to the FBI, that's a criminal offense. Withholding information is a criminal offense in a lot of cases.
Well, lying to the FBI is that would be a crime. Lying to a police officer would be a crime. Now, if you don't answer a question because you can't recall or you don't know, that is not a crime.
Yeah, just ask Hillary, right? I don't recall. That's everybody that's associated with her never seems to remember anything. And that was prior. Yes. That was prior bioweapon shot that affects memories. So what about the CDC? Yeah. Is that criminal for them to not be out here broadcasting that these shots are killing kids and killing otherwise healthy adults and athletes?
Well, let's put it this way. People who know or should have known that these shots are killing people should be liable. Now, the law, there's something called the PREP Act, which Congress has passed, which protects people who do this with respect to vaccines. And so the question, the legal question, and this is a very interesting legal question, which is, where does the PREP Act end and where does known or should have known that this thing is killing people begin? Because what our theory is that the PREP Act protects you. You give a vaccine and then people die. You're protected. But once you have realized, so let's say you're a pharmacist. Once you realize that, oh, I gave 100 shots yesterday and two people died within a week. I gave 100 shots the next day. And you see that the numbers are so large that you can't deny it, then you're liable because you either knew or should have known. Now, because the press is making this out like we're misinformation spreaders, it's very easy to tell the judge, your honor, and you're like, nobody knew, like the press didn't know, I'm no different than the ordinary man here. But once you can see it with your own eyes. But the thing is, the pharmacists don't see the deaths. That's the problem. When you're a pharmacist and you give the shots, like a pharmacist goes into Palo Alto Commons, for example, to give the shots. They give it to nine people. Six people end up dead. The pharmacist doesn't know because the report doesn't get back to the pharmacy. So the pharmacist can keep giving the shots and they could kill a huge percentage of people, but they will never know because the system is not set up to track these vaccine deaths. And even when the elderly person goes to Stanford, Stanford may not know that this person was recently vaccinated.
Decisive. They may just see a dead body
that died from a heart attack.
Needs to be taken right now. Absolutely. Anybody that's in Congress or the Senate needs to be throwing a stink about this right now. And they're just not.
Oh, absolutely.
If I were in power right now, they would hate me for sure. Absolutely. But I would immediately stop this program and incinerate the entire supply of these shots. So it has to happen. And the people that are responsible for manufacturing it, that knew and pushed it, they would be criminally charged and they would face serious consequences.
Yeah. And you know, the most obvious, Stu, is the vaccine injured, right? Because those people are still alive and kicking and can talk about it.
Yeah.
And so we're not doing anything for the vaccine injured. Do you know how many dollars have been paid out from this CICP program set up to compensate people for the vaccine injuries? And there have been over 5,000 vaccine injuries that have been reported to this program, which is a small fraction, because most people don't even know about the program, or they know about the program and realize that the day it takes to fill out the form will be completely wasted because the program has never compensated anyone a dime for their vaccine injuries. We have 5,000 people who have applied and they've given out $0 so far to anyone.
Yeah,
and even
right.
In the most ironclad case, they will not pay out a penny. They denied this guy who everybody said, man, this guy has got the clearest case anywhere. Is his symptoms started right after they got the vaccine. They're severe symptoms. If anyone gets compensated, this guy could get compensated, and he just lost.
It's methodical. It's intentional. It's happening right before our eyes. This is mass murder. That's all there is to it. He has a brilliant Substack, and you should go check it out. stevekirsch.substack.com. Thanks so much for being here, Steve. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu. Great to be here.
All right, well, this is not going to surprise anybody. Certainly didn't surprise me, but the folks over at BioOptimizers have done it again. They've just released their brand new and improved formula for Magnesium Breakthrough. This is the most powerful magnesium supplement on the market today. We've talked on this program about how important magnesium is to your overall health. Your body needs it. Over 50 million people suffer from magnesium deficiencies. And the product was already amazing, but BioOptimizers has continued to research and improve it. So this new fourth generation formula means Magnesium Breakthrough is now even more potent and more effective for, guess what? Reducing stress, improving sleep, and boosting energy levels. If you've already taken Magnesium Breakthrough, you'll want to try the new formula as soon as you can because it now includes cofactors like B6 and manganese that help with the absorption of magnesium. And if you've never tried Magnesium Breakthrough before, now is the perfect time to try it. So go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Help with low mood, sleepless nights, help to prevent stress and anxiety, all great things. And plus, if you like discounts and if you like free shipping, use StuPeters10 at checkout. StuPeters10 gets you 10% off plus free shipping when you go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Preston West Primary School is a school just outside Melbourne, Australia. Well, the other day, the school released a newsletter which has since been yanked from its website for understandable reasons, it turns out. That newsletter announced that in 10 years, they imagine that there will be microchips implanted in students' brains to keep them under control. What might their excuse be for that kind of a power grab? Well, for one idea, we can slide a few hundred miles west to the state of South Australia. The government there just declared a climate emergency, which doesn't mean a lot now, but will mean a lot in the future. Climate is the left's favorite boogeyman. It's the way that they'll be able to make the COVID era permanent. In the old days, like, you know, a couple of years ago, an emergency was a short crisis that required a rapid response. But climate is the exact opposite, because climate is basically invisible. The only reason people actually believe that global warming is happening is because all of the experts tell them so. But of course, experts can lie or be completely full of it. Even if they were right about the climate changing, it would take decades to fix the problem and decades to even know if we were succeeding in our changes. But of course, they don't want the problem to ever be solved. Global warming is an authoritarian's dream. It's an excuse to control and micromanage everybody's lives forever. They want you to live in a pod. They want to take away your car. They want to take away your guns. They want to stop you from eating meat and force you to eat bugs instead. Because it's all an emergency, they get to take away free speech and institute massive censorship, because too much freedom of expression is dangerous in an emergency. So that's what's coming to the once free land of Australia. What about New Zealand? What's going on there? Well, over there, the government just announced a new National Center of Research Excellence for preventing and countering violent extremism. Cut through all the high-level minded BS, and you basically have a rebranded Ministry of Truth. Maria Zee is our Australian correspondent. She's on the ground there and she joins us now. Maria, I mean, all of this is very scary and seems to be coming to the West and once free countries at a very rapid pace.
It does definitely seem like things have accelerated, Stu. And while we see articles out there of schools trialing eating bugs and testing the appetite of children for bugs, I mean, these people are insane. They really do want us to eat bugs. We've seen propaganda from the World Economic Forum for this very reason. And this is all tied into that climate change agenda. I really think that what we've seen with COVID is child's play compared to what they're going to put us through for this so-called climate change. We know that in Australia, we had these, we were told about these evacuation shelters that were being built because it was too hot. But now we have other manufactured weather events, like every major city being hit with the coldest weather we've ever seen. So they are purposely manufacturing this weather, engineering this weather to create this so-called climate crisis. But back to this school that you were talking about, yes, they have removed it. And of course they've removed it, because there would be outrage from any normal person about the idea of children being microchipped. This is a primary school. These are young children. And the language here is microchips in students' brains to promote intelligence and memory. Who would want their child's brain filled with a microchip?
Well, nobody that is sane, of course, but the people there that want to indoctrinate your kids and that want to groom your kids and rape your kids and steal your kids and shrink the size of the nuclear family and ultimately get rid of Christianity or anybody having the free thought process, I guess, if you will, or any individualism presents a threat. It presents a threat to authoritarians who want to control your every move, monitor you. They want to control your dreams, what your memories are. And then, of course, they want to control behavior and limit dissidents so that there can't be any resistance to any of these agendas.
Absolutely. And on that, there is actually a quote right here from the World Economic Forum saying, "I can see the day coming where a scientist will be able to control what a person sees in their mind's eye by sending the right waves to the right place in their brain." My guess is that most objections would be similar to those we hear today about subliminal messages in advertisements, only much more vehement. I think that there would be far further objections than what we see with subliminal messaging in advertising. No one normal would be okay with scientists being able to control your imagination. The control that these people are wanting, Stu, are of your very essence. We're talking about people not being able to think for themselves.
Not make decisions at all of any kind on their own. So, for example, a company like Disney or a company like Coca-Cola could purchase advertising space inside of the microchip that controls how you think. So, for example, I could be sitting here and just all of a sudden say, "Man, I cannot go on without a soda right now. I have to stop everything that I'm doing and go have a Coca-Cola. Right now, stop everything that you're doing." Imagine the control that these people could have. "Oh, I need my injection. Pfizer will just not have to pay Fox News anymore to relentlessly push the bioweapon shots because they won't need to." You will be compelled by your own brain to go and immediately stop everything that you are doing and walk into the injection clinic and get your weekly dose. I mean, this is insane.
not to mention the, I mean, we see this trans agenda, not to mention how they would be pushing people further towards that, dehumanizing them. And God knows, Stu, maybe even pushing people to sexualize children further. I don't even want to think about how evil this will get.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it without chips right now. They're just relentlessly indoctrinating and repeating and telling lies over and over and over again, because there is no such thing as a transgender child. What we have is child abuse that's allowed by parents who should be charged criminally, locked up, thrown in jail, and have the key thrown away for what they have irreparably damaged to their children. And the teachers who carry this out that want to groom your kids so that they can sexualize and molest them because they can't have children of their own because they've likely mutilated their own bodies or sterilized themselves with these injections or by whatever other means that they have to turn themselves into freak shows. And they're pissed off because they can't have their own kids. So instead, they have to steal ours. And now this will be just something that children accept because all they have to do is flip the switch, type in the code, and program the child's brain to believe it's okay for this teacher to touch me and grope me and molest me and rape me.
It's horrifying, Stu. And but before they get to the stage where they're controlling your brain, they are putting in legislation all over the world that is going to be controlling people's speech and their online behavior and a lot more than that. And there's one bill already in the United Kingdom, but here's another one that you mentioned. Jacinda did announce this. It's cloaked under, Jacinda in New Zealand, it's cloaked under managing violent extremism and terrorism, what she's announced, this New Zealand version of the Ministry of Truth. But in her address, she says things like language, disinformation, social media, and gender differences, of course, are considered part of what makes up a violent extremist by these people. It's similar to that DHS notice that we saw, I believe it was earlier this year or late last year, Stu, that classes people that dare differ from the narrative as extremists.
We're seeing it terrorists. Here. The Biden junta just installed an anti-Semitism czar. And so what this means is, for example, over the last couple of days, I was in Washington, D.C., meeting with sailors who were the victims of an Israeli attack in 1967 that left 34 sailors dead after the ship was hit with all kinds of armor-piercing small arms fire, a torpedo after they launched five of them at them, napalm, and gunships. And they had, I mean, this thing should have collapsed and capsized. This was an intentional attack by Israel, but nobody in 55 years has ever dared bring the truth until now. We brought the truth. That's considered hating Jews or anti-Semitism, but it's not. I don't have any problem with Jewish people. I'm not an anti-Semitic person. I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. But the fact is, the truth is, Israel attacked an American warship intentionally, on purpose, and murdered those sailors. But an anti-Semitism czar will immediately come after me and deplatform me and call me a Jew-hating Nazi, anti-Semite, and all of these other things when it's emphatically untrue, but they don't care. They don't need that. And that's exactly what Jacinda Ardern is doing here. The same thing that they're doing in Washington, D.C. right now, putting up these non-climbable wrought iron fences and barricades in the name of protecting Joe Biden or the government from extremists like me. I'm an extremist because I want fair and free elections. I want my vote to count. And I would protest if I found out that my election was stolen and that my vote was disenfranchised. That is supposed to be our right to peaceably assemble and demand a fair and free election. This is a constitutional republic that those freedoms are allowed to occur in, but no more. And that's what Jacinda Ardern is doing. They make up these big, huge, high-minded BS crap hole institutions and programs in the name of whatever they want to call it, simply for the purpose of reducing your freedom, your individual liberty, shredding the Constitution, which is what the WHO is going to do. I want you to talk about this as we have about a minute left here to wrap this up. You just did an interview here, and the WHO is moving forward with this treaty, aren't they?
No later than 1st of August, at the end of which the INB, which is the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body, will identify the provision of the WHO Constitution under which the instrument should be adopted. Now, a lot of people say, well, we don't need to worry because a lot of countries opted out, and kudos to those countries and kudos to those people like you and all of the freedom-loving people across the world who raised awareness about the treaty the last time they were going ahead. We need to double that effort, Stu, because Australia and the United States are all for this treaty. They want this constitution in place. There was no resistance from our countries at the last meeting. we need to push back
yeah.
on this.
They're promoting it. They're promoting it. They want this. They have been trying to decimate the Constitution for decades. They have played the long game. Now it's being replaced by the Constitution from the World Health Organization. It is time, you're right, for everybody to speak up right now. Maria Z, thank you so much for being here. God bless you.
Thank you, Stu. God bless.
The food supply is in peril. War has wiped out grain stores. Mysterious fires have consumed dozens of processing plants. And the Biden junta is paying farmers not to grow.
We could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
But there's hope from heaven. Heavensharvest.com.
That stuff is perfect. It's 25-year shelf life. You can buy it, stick it in your closet, and forget about it.
Christian-owned, kingdom-operated, is ready to help your family prepare for famine, pestilence, and another pandemic. Join Heaven's Harvest Food Club today and enjoy the benefits of a stockpile and peace of mind. No cost. Free shipping. Cancel anytime. Preparation on demand. Water filters, seeds, and vacuum-sealed buckets of grub. Call today for 1 month's supply of food for less than the cost of a daily meal. Or fill your stores for a whole year with food that lasts. Don't wait. Prepare for the devil's worst. HeavensHarvest.com, your angel investor for enduring the end times.
We're out of time. Thank you for being here. We'll see you again tomorrow. Shots fired with Deanna Lorraine up next.